Brothers and sisters, I bring you grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age. Let's pray. May the words of my lips and the meditations of our hearts be ever pleasing before you, O Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, let me ask you, have you ever been too proud to ask for something? Or let me ask it like this. Have you ever been so desperate in a situation that you have cried out in need, particularly in a public place? Let me go through some scenarios. If you were hungry for a meal with no means of buying food, would you cry out on the street on your knees for a sandwich? Maybe. Maybe not. If you had nowhere to sleep tonight, would you beg a stranger to give you a bed? Or would you be too proud? Maybe. Maybe not. Let me turn it up a little. What if you were dying on the street from a heart attack? How would you respond? Would you turn to the person next to you and say, "Excuse me, I'm having a heart attack here. Do you mind just calling an ambulance?" No, you wouldn't respond like this. You would cry out aloud. You would say, "Help, I'm dying. Somebody call an ambulance. This is an emergency." And so it is with the desperate need of salvation to all people, and it is where the tension in our text is, a blind beggar crying out to Jesus. And so you'll need your Bibles if you want to follow through with me. I'm going to be starting at verse 35 of Luke 18. Verse 35. As he drew near to Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. Now, we are introduced to two characters in the text here. We have Jesus and a blind man. Now, the background here is that Jesus is currently on his way to Jerusalem by way of Jericho, a city near the Jordan, about 700 feet below sea level. And we know that he's going up to Jerusalem to be handed over to the Gentiles, who will ultimately crucify him. And we know this because he just told his disciples for the third and final time in the previous part of our reading, and he explained what was going to happen to the Son of Man. And yet we know that they understood none of these things. This saying was hidden from them, and they did not grasp what was said. Now, two things I want to talk about this verse. The first thing is that in Mark's Gospel, he writes about the same story, and we know that this blind man's name is Bartimaeus. So if I say blind man or Bartimaeus, I'm talking about the same person. But the second thing I want to draw your attention to is what Luke writes in the text. And he says that this blind man is by the way. Or it says in our text, I believe, by the roadside. Now, this word that Luke uses, he uses this word in the Greek over and over again, and it has a double meaning there. There is a meaning that this blind man is quite literally on the way, or by the way, but he's also spiritually on the way. And what he means by this is this word, the way, comes up over and over in Luke's gospel. If you were a first century Christian, you might turn to another Christian that you don't know as a Christian, and you might just ask them, "Hey brother, are you on the way?" And they might say, "Well, yes, I am." You know, and so then you would be able to confide in that person, and it's like a bit of a, I wouldn't say code language, but it's a double meaning, something to notice. Verse 36, and hearing a crowd going by, he inquired what this meant. He told him, "Jesus of Nazareth," "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." Now, two things to notice here. What this meant, or in the Greek you could say literally, what is this, or what be this? Or if you are a good Lutheran that knows your small catechism, you would say, what does this mean? The second thing to notice is that Jesus, what does it mean that Jesus of Nazareth is passing by? Now, I think some good holy speculation here would inform us a bit of background that the context of our passage is that Jesus has come to the end of his 3-year ministry. The time has come for him to go to Jerusalem. He has set his face to Jerusalem and he's on his way there to be crucified for the sins of the world. And so it is that because Jesus was well traveled in that area and he's quite famous by this time, it would be no surprise that our blind man has heard many stories about Jesus already, of his healings, of his teachings, and of the miraculous things that he has done in his time on earth. Hence, it is no wonder that the text goes on to read in verse 38. And he cried out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Having pondered what this meant, that Jesus of Nazareth is passing by with a crowd, the blind man simply cries out. But I want you to notice the detail in the title that he gives Jesus. The first thing, Son of David. Son of David. Now, Luke's gospel does not tell us how Bartimaeus knows this title of Christ, or even what he expects Jesus to do. My opinion, or my holy speculation, is that Bartimaeus is a Jew, and that he has a reasonable knowledge of the Torah, the Old Testament. He has a good understanding of Jewish culture and cultural expectations of the characteristics who Israel's Messiah would be, the one who has come to save the nation of Israel. And hence, the blind man, he openly addresses Jesus appropriate with the messianic title, Son of David. In other words, Bartimaeus recognizes Jesus is the Davidic king Israel has been waiting for. Again, the implications of this title is far-reaching. He knows Jesus is God's chosen one. He knows he is born of King David's lineage, probably reading 1 Samuel chapter 7. He knows he is the Messiah, the anointed one, and he calls out to him in a public place. Such public audacity to call upon the name of Jesus, Son of David. Now, the second thing I want you to notice in this text is the words, or to think of this question, what is it that Bartimaeus actually wants? Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Quite literally, from the Greek, mercy me. It's an imperative command, but it's interesting because in English, we actually don't have a verb for mercying, or I am compassioning you. We don't have a word for this. And this is the phrase where we, as good Lutherans, we sing this in our LHS hymnals. We sing this in our LHS hymnals. Page 8 in your little red hymnals, you can go for yourself. So let me bring you back to my opening question. Have you ever been too proud to ask for something? Have you ever been so desperate that you have cried out in a public place? Now, this story takes a twist. Watch what takes place. Verse 39. And those who were in front rebuked the blind man, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Now, there are several things going on here in this text. Notice the ones who went ahead. Or in the Greek, you could literally translate it, the going ahead ones. These ones who were in front. Now, in ancient times, it wasn't unusual for when an important person comes to town that there would be ones in front of this important person to notify the town which he was coming to let them know so that the important dignitary might be received. such a person might be a diplomat, a dignitary, or an ambassador of a country. All right, there's my own little hidden double meaning there. Lest it causes embarrassment. it makes sense. There's an important person coming. Please let them know that they're coming and we'll receive them. Now, we don't know who these going ahead ones were in this text, but what we do know is what they did do in this case. And those who were in front rebuked him, telling him to be silent. In other words, if I could try and give a little bit of a background story, what I think is going on here is the going ahead ones have turned to this blind man and said something to this effect. They've said, "Hey, blind man, keep the noise down. You're embarrassing yourself. And we don't want you to embarrass this important guy, Jesus, coming through. So save yourself some shame, because Jesus hasn't got time for people like you. He hasn't got time for blind men. Jesus is the most important person in the country right now. Who do you think you are? Pontius Pilate? So be quiet and don't embarrass yourself." If somebody rebuked you like this in your moment of desperation, how would you respond? If someone rebuked you having a heart attack, how would you respond? Well, he was not deterred, but he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." In the Greek, "much more," he cried out, or "all the more," or "louder," he cried. It's about this moment where I believe Jesus would have been hearing Bartimaeus' voice cutting over the crowd. Imagine hearing this despairing voice crying out in a moment of absolute desperation. Can you imagine it? It's interesting because if people cannot hear the tears, so cannot see the tears in your eyes, they will hear the tears in your voice. I know a true story of when a parishioner called a pastor at 2 a.m. in the morning. And he said these words, "The church is on fire!" He didn't need to convince the pastor of this situation. The fervor was in his voice, and he believed him straight away. And now the moment of desperation in our text has probably risen to the point of embarrassment for either party, for both the blind man, the going ahead ones, and Jesus. And so what happens here? Verse 40. And Jesus stopped. And Jesus stopped. Jesus Christ, Son of Man, Son of David, the God of the universe has taken on flesh. He's completed 3 years of ministry. He has set his face to the one who sets his face to Jerusalem, and he's now on his way to Jerusalem to give up his life for the sins of the world. This is a cataclysmic, eternal, life-changing event for the history of all mankind. And he hears one lone voice over a crowd, and he stops. Jesus stopped, and he commanded the blind man to be brought to him. Now, there's two things I want to comment on this verse. The first thing, Jesus stopped. And this is amazing because Jesus doesn't stop as if he's one that takes orders. I'm not sure about you, but I don't think I've read in the Bible anywhere where Jesus takes orders from people. Something to think about. The second thing is that when he stops, he commands or he orders the blind man to be brought to him. Jesus is now doing something active here. He stops and he orders this man to come to him. But notice what he says. He doesn't say, "Hey, just come over here." The blind man can't just run up to him. The blind man can't even see where Jesus is, let alone take himself there. No. Jesus commands the blind man to be brought, or maybe carried, but to be commanded to come here. Verse 40, And when he came near, he asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" Quite literally, "What for you shall I do?" Or, "What you want, I will do." It's almost like a blank check, isn't it? But the request from Bartimaeus is much more specific. What is it that he asks? "Lord, let me recover my sight." In the Greek, "Lord, so that I might see," or "so that I may see again." And Jesus' response is so beautiful. Jesus said to him, "Recover your sight, your faith has made you well." But it's interesting because, like I said in my children's talk, in the Greek, it's only one word. We would say, "see again," or "your sight has been restored." But in the Greek, it's just one word, it's just the verb "see." The blind man says, "I want to see again," and Jesus says, "see." One word, a performative word. "The faith of you has saved you." At the words from Jesus' lips, the blind man was both saved spiritually and physically. You know, Jesus spoke a word and it came to be. And this sounds it's very powerful. In fact, it sounds a lot like last week's reading we read from Isaiah 55:11. "So it is from the words from my mouth, it will not return to me empty, but it will accomplish that which I desire." Sounds like these words could be very comfortable in the mouth of Jesus himself. Isaiah wrote this hundreds and hundreds of years before Jesus came. And we see from the text, at the word of Christ, sight is restored and salvation comes. Verse 43, "And immediately he recovered his sight." So what is the appropriate response to God's performative word? When a person sees God saving, how should they respond? Well, let's look in verse 43. "And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God." How are we to respond when we see God revealing himself in his glory and giving a performative word? Well, we follow him and we give him praise and glory and honor. This is a Trinitarian work. Jesus speaks a performative word by the power of the Spirit, the man is healed, and God the Father receives the glory. Remember my opening question when I said to you, have you ever been too proud to ask for something? Have you ever been so desperate in a situation that you cried out in need? Well, let me ask you, which character in this story do you think you line up with more? Do you see yourself as these going ahead ones? It's interesting because they can physically see, and yet they are blind to who Jesus truly is. They can see, but they do not follow Jesus, but rather go ahead of him. They're more interested in their own glory of association with Jesus, not servants of Jesus. And they rebuke others who recognize their spiritual and physical need for Christ, but funnily enough, not their own. They do not come as beggars before Christ, calling out on the name of Jesus, but in their selfishness, get in the way of others by going ahead of Christ. They're in it for the glory, the pompous, the image. Hey, look at us. We're friends with Jesus. Such people will come under the very judgment of God. If you think that you do not need Christ, then you actually fit this profile. Such ones are in for a shock. However, do you see yourself more like Bartimaeus, the blind man, who is physically blind and yet he can spiritually see. He can perceive by faith who Jesus is, and he knows his desperate need for him and cries out as a beggar when he hears Jesus is passing by. He will not be silenced by those who reject Christ, the ones who go ahead of him, tell him to be quiet, but he knows Jesus will show mercy and compassion. He knows in his desperate state that deep down he cannot come to Christ on his own, quite physically and quite spiritually. Bartimaeus' faith has saved him from his sin and blindness because of his faith in Jesus, the Son of Man, the Son of David, the suffering servant, the one who, as our liturgy proclaims, takes away the sin of the world, the one who sets his face to Jerusalem, and yet he stops for a blind man calling out across the crowd. And Jesus can save you, even now. Jesus' performative word is at work, even now. So to both the going ahead ones and to the blind beggars, do not be too proud to cry out to Jesus to show mercy to you. If someone tells you to be quiet, cry out all the more. Jesus will hear your cry. Jesus has stopped. He is here, and he is commanding you to be brought to him. He says to you, "What do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus says, "Recover your sight. The faith of you has saved you. I will stop and hear you through your faith. So come today to Christ alone, with empty hands, and crying out, 'Son of David, have mercy on me.'" Amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.